Okay, so let's who can explain what's the machlokas in the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? What's the machlok? I mean, I'm not asking you what each one says. Well, let's first start with that. let's just make sure everybody has all the facts straight. What's machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, Miriam, what do you say?
The Chachamim say even if it's in a kofar hakachokis.
Yeah, what is even in a kofar hakachokis? What happens in a that the sachir, that the worker, what?
Is able to swear that the
Balabais.
Balabais owes him the money,
right,
and therefore he'll be able to collect the money.
And Rabbi Yehuda
says only in a mode of a mitzvah case, meaning only if the Balabais says, no, I owe you part of what the sachir is claiming.
Right. So how do you understand this machloket? Those are the facts. So it's just one other thing. So that in the mode of a mix, what happens then in that mode of a mitzvah case?
So the sachir swears, then he has to pay full.
Yeah, he swears, and then he'll collect the full amount. Isn't that right? He'll collect the full amount. So how do you understand? So those are the facts. But I'm asking you now, just conceptually, how do you understand this machlokas? Because what are they arguing about? Yeah.
Can I just answer something?
Sure.
Okay. So in the deal, right, the shuah, we have shuah more than the mitzvah that the defendant did the shuah.
Not can, is obligated.
Yeah. So here there's a shuah derabanan that the plaintiff or the sahir can make the shuah. How does that work? And they're both in the same time.
Good point. Okay, Jewel, that bothers some of you. So how did you deal with that? Yeah?
Even Rabbi Yehuda's, what was happening is Rabbi Yehuda's conception of this finish of the Mishnah is that you take the shuah from one and you take it on the other. As opposed to the Chachamim, we're saying that you just innovate a whole new shuah.
Yeah. I mean, just to answer your question, it's not that they both take a shuah. What the Chachamim did was it was Minat Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Minat Torah, who's Chayav Shavua? The Balabais. Now, so if you just follow the Din, what happened? The worker comes to the Balabais and says, let's use the example, you owe me 50 dinarim. And the Balabais says, what are you talking about? You already got a dinar, and a dinar zav is equal to, you all understood that, one dinar zav is equal to 25 dinare kesef. There are silver coins and gold coins. So I was claiming from you 50 silver coins. And the Balabais said back, no, I only owe you one gold coin. It's another way of saying I only owe you 25 silver coins. So basically, if you just follow the Din HaTorah, this is a straightforward case of a mode of a mitzvah. What should happen? Who should have to swear? The Balabais. And then after he swore, what would happen then? He won't pay. That's all. He won't have to pay. He'll pay the 25 because he's motivated. He still owes him 25 because he said his kabalta, you got already 25. So I only owe you 25. So what he admits to owe, he'll pay. But what he claims that was already given to the sacher, once he swears that he paid the sacher 25 dinari kesef, he'll be putter. Isn't that right? That would be the Din HaTorah. When the Chachamim came along, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and gave the Socher the opportunity to swear, to collect, what they did was, they took away the Shavua. They said, the Balabais doesn't have to swear in this case. He doesn't swear in this case. Yeah, they did. I mean, if you ask me, how can they do that? Okay, we can talk about that. That's a different issue. But what they did was they said, Balabais, you're not going to swear here. So you're not going to have an opportunity to be putter from the other 25. What they did was they gave an opportunity to the poel, to the worker, to collect all 50 dinarim.
Do the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that this is a case in Modern Mitzvah and also in Kofar HaKol? Or do Chachamim say, meaning when Rabbi Yehuda says that this is the case with the Sefer is for the Muslim mitzvah, would the Chachamim also agree with that?
That's a very good question. The truth is, if you've started the Tosfos in, you might have. That will come out. But so okay, but getting back now to, did you all hear what she asked? She asked a very good kasha, that according to the Chachamim, what would the Chachamim say in a case of Moda B'Miktsas? Because we only know what the Chachamim say in what case, because the Chacham said, the Socher goes to the Balabai, says, you didn't pay me, you owe me the money, and the Balabai says, I paid you in full already. That's the case of the Chachamim, right? And then the Mishnah says, the Socher is a Nishba V'Notel. If he swears, he'll collect. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now, what would the Chachamim say in a case where the Balabayas was, in fact, Moda B'Miktsas? Well, but maybe they would say in that case,
there's a Dioraisa,
so maybe we should leave the Dioraisa alone. And once the Balabayas swears, maybe that's the end of it. Why should that be the end of it once he swears? I know that, but because once he swears, so then we believe what he says. If we believe what he says, then how can what? Then you're going to tell the Sohar, okay, now you swear and collect? We just made the Balabaya swear. What, we don't believe his Shavuah? You can't, right? So what would the Chachamim say in an actual case of Moda B'Miktsas? So that you're going to see the answer. It's going to come out. If you haven't started the Rishonim yet, so you wouldn't know it. Okay? But getting back to Mike, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you assume in a case where a Dioraisa would exist, there wouldn't be a Dirabanan Shavuah?
Not necessarily. It all depends what was the motivation in the first place, why they gave the Sochir, why they introduced. Now, if that motivation is compelling, then maybe it should even apply where the Balabayas is a motive that makes us. Ah, you'll tell me but that's a Din Dioraisa, so the Chachamim could have still instituted their point. Ah, you'll ask me the question, how could the Chacham go against the Din D'Oraisa? Who can answer that? I mean, it's a bigger issue, but it's not really our topic. But this is true for all Dinei Mamonos. Yeah, Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Are you familiar with this? That means Bezdin. Bezdin, they mean the Chachamim. Chazal. It's the way we're using the expression, it's more of a metaphor. Hefker means to declare something that's ownerless, right? It's based on psukim. Actually, the Gemara in Gittin derives it from different psukim that the Chachamim, our Chazal, represented by Beis Din, have the power to simply take away someone's money and, let's say, and award it to someone else. Hopefully, you know, we assume that they're not going to abuse that power, that they'll use it, you know, properly, but they have that power. Now, if they could take away your money and give it to somebody else, just like that. So therefore, the Shavuah is a halacha within Dinei Mamonos. So therefore, if they wanted to award, so they could say to the Socher, we want you to be able to collect the full amount, right? So they could take the Shavuah away from the Balabayas and award it to the... Now, when they put the Shavuah on... If they take the Shavuah, let me ask you this, if they take the Shavuah away from the Balabayas, like what Rabbi Yehuda says, and now the Socher swears, so is what the Socher swearing, is that a Shavuah D'Oraisa, or that's a Shavuah D'Rabbanan? I mean, the fact that I said they took it away, do I mean by that it's still D'Oraisa? Well, what do you think? No, it's D'Rabbanan. There is no such thing. No such thing as what? There is no such thing as a Shavuah D'Oraisa that the plaintiff takes. There's no such thing. So when I say they take it away, I don't really mean that they take the Shavuah D'Oraisa and they put the Shavuah D'Oraisa on the plaintiff and now the plaintiff is taking that Shavuah D'Oraisa. I don't really mean, what's really happening is they're basically pottering the Balabayas of that Shavuah and then they're instituting a Shavuah on whom? On the plaintiff. They're giving him a chance to collect. But getting back to my question, how do you understand conceptually the machlokas between the Chachamim? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say only where there's a Moda B'Miktsas? Because what would Rabbi Yehuda say if the Balabayas was a Kofar HaKol? Is there a Shavuah?
Yeah.
No. Isn't that right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, what would be in a case where the Baal HaBayis is a kofer akol? Would the socher be a nishma venota? No. So when is the socher a nishma venota? Only where the Baal HaBayis is moda b'mitzas. What do the Chachamim say? Just repeating, that the Baal HaBayis, even where the Baal HaBayis is a kofer hakol, let's not say even, because that was your question, where the Baal HaBayis is a kofer hakol, then what? Then the Chachamim instituted a shavua. They said that the socher can be a nishba venotel. Isn't that right? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, then, if the Baal HaBayis is not a kofer hakol, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Baal HaBayis is a kofer hakol, there is no nishba venotel. How did you understand that? I mean, what is this? I mean, you all started the Gemara. Gemara talked about Kedei Chayav, right? There seems to be a compelling reason. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in that. Obviously he does, because he also believes in the Nishba Venoto, right? He just feels there's got to be a motive that makes us. Why? You hear what I'm asking you? What is... Yeah?
Well, maybe because since they're kind of like making up this concept, because we have the notion that if they're kofer hakol, then we're just going to throw out the piece because it's just one person's word against the other. So why should you give one person the ability to, you know, to then collect? But if they're moved out of mixed, so then it's like starting to open up that maybe, you know, he wasn't really telling
you. That's right. Of course. And that's, you know, what she said. I'll repeat it. See, Rabbi Yehuda, I understand Rabbi Yehuda very well. It's the Chachamim who, to me, are saying a big chiddush. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? If the Baal HaBayis is a moda b'mikzas, now, if he's a moda b'mikzas and the Torah says he's chayiv v'shvuah, let's reinterpret that. What does it mean to you? Why does the Torah be mechayiv v'shvuah? Let's start with that. According to the Torah, guy is a moda b'mikzas, he's chayiv v'shvuah. If I were, very simply, why is he a chayiv v'shvuah? Why does the Torah demand a shvuah from him? Because obviously we're suspicious, right? What are we suspicious of? Well, maybe he really owes the full amount, because after all, he's admitting to some of it. He's saying, I do owe you some, but I don't owe you the rest. Okay, well, maybe he really owes the full amount, and he's for some, you know, who knows? Knows his position, according to the Torah, has been compromised, because he's already admitting to some of it. So if the Baal HaBayis is under suspicion that maybe he really owes the full amount and he's trying to get out of it, well, now there are two things. So according to the Torah, the person who's under suspicion is the one who what? Swears. So the Chachamim came along and said, you know what? If the Baal HaBayis is under suspicion, you know what we'll do in this case? In order, and the Gemara says, why? Kedei chayav, he's a worker, he needs money to live on, and so on. So if already the Baal HaBayis' position is under suspicion, you know what we're going to do in that case? We're going to give the Sochir a chance to collect the full amount. Because if we let the Baal HaBayis swear, then he'll be a Nishba V'Niftar, right? So in a case where the Baal HaBayis, we're suspicious of the Baal HaBayis, maybe the Baal HaBayis is not telling the truth, right? And the soch is claiming the full amount. So then they instituted that we're going to take away the shvuah from him. He's not going to be chayv. He's not going to take the shvuah. And now they instituted a nishba venoto for the soch here. But if the Baal HaBayis is a kofer hakol, so I come to you and I say, you didn't pay me my $100. And you say, yes, I did. So I should get a chance to be a nishba venoto. Why am I believed more than you? It's my word against yours. Why should the Baal HaBayis be on the short end of this? What? Because he said he paid in full. What, he's under suspicion? Why is he under suspicion? Maybe the Sochir is trying to pull a fast one. How do we know? How do we know anything? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? In the case where the Baal HaBayis is a kofer hakol, what is the din d'oraisa in a case of kofer hakol? Nobody collects anything. The case basically is thrown out. So contributor, that's exactly what we're going to do here too. We're not going to give the Sochir a chance. Why should we give him a chance to collect? By swearing. Why we suspect the Baal HaBayis might not be so, is not so honest? Well, why do we suspect his dishonesty? It's the Chachamim who are saying what? That in the case of a kofer hakol, where I never would have thought the chachamim would say something like that. I come to you and I say, you didn't pay me my wages. And you said, I absolutely did. Well, what are you talking about? I get a chance to collect? What right do I have? Why? Because I'm a poor worker? Okay, I'm a poor worker. Therefore what? Therefore I have a right to get money out of you when you deny it completely. You understand? So the truth is, the Gemara is going to try to figure out why it is what? Why is there a nishba v'noto for the socher in a case where the balabais is a kofar akol? Well, what's? There's got to be some reason for it. Rabbi Yehuda, I understand. You see what I'm saying? Yes.
Is it like a difference? Are we assuming that the work actually took place?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a question of whether
he did the work. Yeah. What do you mean, what?
Meaning, so you're a worker and I'm an employer, but maybe you never worked for me.
I mean, are you asking, do we know for a fact that he worked?
Yes. Yeah.
And how do we know it?
So.
Okay, that the Gemara, you haven't done it yet. The Gemara will discuss that. That's actually also a very good kasha. Do we know that he worked for him? Is that a given?
Well, the Balabas never says he doesn't.
I know. You're right. So apparently that's not... So what we're going to see is, does the worker have to produce edim that he worked for him? That's going to come up. We didn't do it yet. That's in the next piece of Gemara. But we'll see. Okay. So let's take a look at the Gemara. Now, there was... the Gemara started off by asking... That's what I had told you, that all the shvuos of the Torah are a nishba v'niftar. So the Gemara asked, minolon. And the Gemara answered, da'amar kro, etc., right? So the Gemara is asked, I mean, the Gemara doesn't know what? The Gemara doesn't know, is asking, how do we know that the Shavuah of the Torah is what? That you swear and then you're potter because the defendant is the one that swears? Is that right? Well, first of all, we know, as I pointed out, there are three Shavuahs that are in the Torah, right? There's Moda B'Mikzas, there's Eid Echad, and Shomrim. Is the Gemara asking on all three of them? And how do we know that for all three Shavuos HaTorah? How do we know that... Basically, what they're asking is, how do we know that it's the defendant who swears? Isn't that really what they're asking? Because they're asking, how do we know that Nishbon Velo Mishalmin? Well, if it's Nishbon Velo Mishalmin, then who's doing the Nishbon? The defendant, right? So the Gemara is saying, how do we know that? You mean the Gemara is mistopic, the Gemara is in doubt, maybe, in these three cases, is that what the Gemara is called? In these three cases, maybe the plaintiff is a nishba v'notel? I mean, how do we know that in these cases he's a nishba v'niftar? Is that what's going on? Because the pasuk that they quote, what's that pasuk? The Gemara answers, v'lokach domar kro. What is that about? Shomrim. Did you all look up the pasuk? Does anybody know which? What? Yeah. Shvuas Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem. Im lo shalach yodo b'mlechus reyehu. V'lokach ba'olo v'lo yishalem. That's the right? You have it in your... Yeah. Yeah. When I was in the Rav Shir, there used to be a guy in the class who knew all of Chumash Baal Peh. So nobody had in the Gemara the whole Pasuk. So whenever the Rav needed a Pasuk, they would turn to him, and all of a sudden he'd start rattling off the whole Parsha until he got to the... It was very funny. Everybody turned to him, and then he started. Just rattled off the whole Parsha. Anyway, so this Pasuk is by Shomrim, right? That's, there's no pasuk by motive, it's not by motive of mitzvahs. It's not by, by the way, do you know what the pasuk is? From where do we know Shavuot of motive of mitzvahs? If you don't know it, I want you to find out. And also by Eid Echad, where is the pasuk from where we know Shavuot Eid Echad? Try to find out. I'm not telling you, you use your ingenuity and try to find out. But what's interesting is the Gemara cites the pasuk by Shomrim. That's it, right? They cite the pasuk by Shomrim, and what? And then we're supposed to know from that just for Shomrim, or that's supposed to be sort of like a binyanav that once it's true for Shomrim, it would be true for all the Shavuos HaTorah. Hear them? I'm just asking. It's just. Yeah, I mean, the Gemara seems to say that from this pasuk we know that all the Shavuos HaTorah is Nishbon v'lo Meshalmin. Isn't that right? I'm just saying this pasuk happens to be only about Shomrim. So the only thing is, what does the pasuk say? Shavuos Hashem tiyev ben shneihem im lo shalach yado b'mlachas reyehu l'kach b'lo v'lo yishalem. So let's leave off the last l'kach b'lo v'lo yishalem. What if the pasuk is Shavuos Hashem tiyev ben shneihem im lo shalach yado b'mlachas reyehu? Let's say the pasuk stop right there. How would you understand that pasuk? Who swears? So Shavuos Hashem tiyev, but there's a shvuah between them. Im lo shalach yado b'mlachas reyehu. Doesn't it sound like the because who's the one the what is lo shalach im lo shalach? You know what that is? What's im lo shalach yado b'mlachas reyehu? What does shlichus yad mean? He didn't use it. Correct. Does that mean that parsha is talking about what kind of a shomer? Did anybody? No. A shomer socher. It says ki itini shereyehu chamor or shor or seh, something like that. You should look up. You have a chumash. If you don't have it with you, you'll take a look. Some of you I see do have. There are two. The first parsha, it says ki itin ish areyehu kesef o kelim lishmor. And then it goes, you have several psukim on that. And then a little bit after that, it says, ki itin ish al reyehu animals. I don't remember. Chamor shoroseh. So Chazal say that the first parsha where it says, ki itin ish al reyehu kesef o kelim lishmor, is talking about a shomer chinam. And the second parsha where it says, ki itin ish al reyehu chamor shoroseh, is talking about a shomer sachar. For a very simple reason. Who can?
It's a lot harder.
Exactly. To watch Kesef O'Kalim, I don't have to do anything, so I'm willing to do it for nothing. Very simple. I think the Ramban Alatara says it, but to watch a chamor, you got to feed it, you got to take care of it. I'm not ready to do it for nothing. If you pay me, I'll do it. So that's where the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting is in that second parsha of Chamor Oshur Oseh. So it's talking about a Shomer Socher. So it says, now a Shomer Socher, does he have the right to use the animal that he's watching? Of course not. If he uses it, that's called shlichus yad. It's a metaphor, you send your hand. That's just an expression for what? For using the animal. Because what happens if the shomer socher uses the animal for himself? He's what? What is he? He's a goslin. He becomes a goslin, and the goslin is chayiv no matter what happens to the... Because what happened in the parsha? What did the Torah say? Im nishbaro nishba, right? If let's say something happened to the animal, then Shavuos Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. That's only true if lo shalach yado b'mlechus reyehu. Because if shalach yado b'mlechus reyehu, you understand? Then he'd be chayiv. Because a gazan can't say, "Well, it's not my fault. The animal was stolen from me, or it died by itself." A gazan that can't claim onus, right? So it says, Shavuos Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem, im lo shalach yado b'mlechus reyehu. So what does that sound like to you? That if he's not shaleach yad, who's not shaleach? It's got to be the shomer socher, right? That Shavuos Hashem tiyeh ben shneihem. So that sounds like that the Baal HaBayis is a nishba v'notel? Or that sounds like the socher The Shomer Sachar is a Nishba V'Niftar. What would you say? Sounds like, shouldn't it be plain pshat? You learned Chumash, you don't know anything, just reading the Psukim. So, first of all, so you mean the Gemara didn't understand that? The Gemara didn't. I mean, isn't you read the Chumash, don't you see from the Parsha of Shomrim, don't you? Yeah, but it says v'lo kach ba'ala v'lo yishalem.
Right, but maybe in the first part of the passage it seems like for sure he was offended, but then when you say
v'lo kach ba'ala. Yeah, but how can you, but then you have to read the next two psuk, it says v'lo yishalem, I mean, well, you can't. But anyway, how did the Gemara interpret v'lo kach ba'ala? What does he take? He takes the shmur, that's all he gets. The shmur that the Shomer Sachar is going to swear. So I gave you a Rishonim on this. You haven't done it yet. There's a Ramban, and there's a Rima Gash. I gave you. Just plain pshat. Just what's going on? All right. In any event, the Gemara derived. Yeah.
Well, just you said that if the person steals, like, uses it, then it's considered stealing, and then he's taking it accountable. But let's say like he uses it, and then like a few days later.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. He's always responsible. If I steal something from you and then somehow later something happens to it, totally not.
Even though what you did isn't what caused.
That's right. Once you're a goslin, you're chayef no matter what happens for whatever reason, no matter what the cause is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that reading the word ba'ala means something other than owner?
No, I didn't think so.
So how do you read that?
No, they're going on, it says, V'lo yishalem. So, mi sha'alav l'shalem, the one who would have been, who would have had to swear, but he doesn't swear. The one who would have to pay, mi sha'alav l'shalem, the one who would have to pay, but he doesn't have to pay in this case, because the pasuk says, V'lo yishalem, he'll be the one to swear.
So
the Lakach Ba'ala means the Ba'al HaBayis will then take that Shavua. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so we'll say, I mean, again, just plain pshat. It's not a big deal just to know what the Gemara is saying. Okay, then the Gemara gets into why a Sachir, right, the Gemara asks, Maishna Sachir du Tokinu Le Rabbanan du Mishtaba V'Shakel. The Gemara wants to know, why did the Chachamim give an opportunity to the socher, to the poel, to the worker, to be a nishba v'notel. And the Gemara, I don't understand. All right, let's just go. It says, "Joel understand halachos gedolos, shanu kan." And the Gemara asks, "Halachos? Do you understand what the Gemara was doing here?" Oh, who can explain? I see someone said no. What's happening here? How do you read it, first of all? Who could read this? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. The kasha was, why is Sachir different, right? Why do they give, why is Mar asking the kasha? Because basically it's a kofar akol case. So if you're a kofar akol, you're a potter. Well, what's going on? Why should they award, why should they give a Sachir a chance to collect his full salary, the full swear? Why do they do it? Answers, Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halachas gedolos shanu kan. First of all, I don't say, how does that answer the question? I don't know. But what was the Gemara's reaction to that? Who could read it? Yeah, so I would just read, halachos, comma. Halachos? Question mark. Hani hilchason ninhu? Another question mark. The word hilchason, when the Gemara uses the word halacha hilchason, you're right. That's a word that they use to describe a halacha l'moshe misinai. So, you all know what halacha l'moshe misinai, right? So the Gemara says, halachos, that's what this is? Hani hilchos aninu, these are all halachos l'moshe misinai? Now, of course, the Gemara, it can't be that. Why can't it be? Yeah, because if it's halacha l'moshe misinai, it's d'oraisa, and these are all presumably takanos derabanan. I just don't understand. Even let's say the word halachos didn't mean halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Gemara's question was, why is Sachir different? The answer is, well, halachos gedolos. How does that answer the question? Because they're great halachos. But the problem was, why is Sachir different? I don't know how. The Gemara's response is, well, what, you're calling this halachos? What is halacha Moshe Mesinai? Answer the Gemara, takanos gedolos shanu kan. So, okay, it's takanos. Again, I don't know, how does this answer the question? I saw, right? So what's Gemara's reaction? What? Gedolos michlal dika katanos? What, mean there are some takanos which are katanos, and there are some takanos which are gedolos? What is this? Small takanos and big takanos? Kind of a takanos a takana, either it there was a reason to make it, or there is no reason to make it. If there's a reason to make it, then it's a takana. What do you mean, big and small? What is this? Answers the Gemara, El wa takanos kavuos shanu kan. What was that? So whatever wording you want to use, I don't see how it answers the kasha yet, right? We still don't know why they made this takana. Number two, what does kavuos mean? I don't quite get. What are they trying to say by using? It says takano shanukan. What's kavuos? I know what the word means, but what does kavuos mean? It's set. What, as opposed to what? Not being set? What does that mean? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know. What is gained by adding the word kavuos? And I don't know what it means. Okay, takano shanukan. I can understand. They made a takana. But that doesn't, we don't know why they did it. Don't we already know that it's the Rabbanan? Don't we already know that it's a Takana? Before the Gemara, when the Gemara asked the Kasha, Maishna Sochir, the Tokinu Le Rabbanan. So we know the Rabbanan made a Takana. So answers the Gemara, why'd they make a Takana? Well, because Takanos Kvuos. What kind of an answer is that? But then, yeah. Well, they're set for that situation. It's not going to, only for the situations that are enumerated in the Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, what does this mean? Okru rabbanu l'shvu mibal abayis v'shod yuha asochir mishum kedei chayav. Isn't that really the answer? That's the end, no? So what, the words takanos kavuos are just introducing. What did Rashi say? Which Rashi? Oh, I don't have it. Oh, what is going on? I don't have this. What where'd they get this from?
I don't know how it arrived, but I changed it.
Yeah, what does it say?
It says, so that you're saying, like, it's an introduction, that this is, even though this is something unusual, that we're Oker Divrei Torah, but it's still something that's...
We're Oker Divrei Torah. Why are we Oker Divrei Torah?
Because we are moving the Shua from one person to the next.
Oh, we're talking in the case where he's Motiv B'Miktzas.
Well, the next one is Gemara.
All right, so that's the question. So Gemara says, Okruah Rabbanu L'Shvuah Mibal Abayis. What does that mean? They uprooted the Shvuah from the Balabayas, the Shodyuah Sachir. Yes, Tosus deals with it. Very difficult, that line. Why is it difficult? Because there is no Shvuah. Were the Gemara is analyzing Rabbi Yehuda's view, or the Gemara is analyzing the view of the Chachamim? Okay, so you have to have seen, I don't know if you have, look at it, it's a very short Tosus. Take a look at second Tosus on the Yamut. Okru rabbanim l'shvuah mibal abayis. So Leah, read that Tosfos. That's what I mentioned. Rav Nachman is an Amora. what's Tosa's point? Tosa's asking a kasha here. What's the kasha?
The kasha is exactly the kasha that we ask. There is no shvua on the Baal HaBayis in this case. If he's called
yes, what do you mean? The Gemara says they uprooted the shvua from the Baal HaBayis. What shvua? The Baal HaBayis is a kofar akol. Well, what shvua are they talking about? There is no shvua. Because we're discussing the shvua of the Mishnah, right? In the time of the Mishnah, there was no shvua of Hesus. That came years later. What is that?
So we, in general, like Chava said, there's, meaning, whether or not in this case he's actually obligated to Yeshua, in any case of Yeshua, it would be him, the defendant, who would be obligated. The Od, that field was in Mitzah, Shduya Asafir.
What is that?
So, meaning, I guess he's answering the question that we had before, that according to Rabbanan, even in the Mod in Mitzah case, the Safir would
be. Yeah, that was your question. Tosfos learns that even where the Chachamim would say that where the Baal HaBayis is a motive of mitzvahs, they would also say that they'll take it away, and then they gave the Socher the chance to swear. So what Tosis gives two terutzim to the Kasha. What Kasha are we talking about? The Gemara says they uprooted the Shavua from the Baal HaBayis. So our problem is, what Shavua? Two terutzim in Tosis. The first terutz of Tosis is what? Is there a Shavua really on the Baal HaBayis? No. So what did they uproot? Nothing. So what is the Gemara talking about? So Tosa says what? Well, in theory, we would have thought that if the Chachamim were going to impose the Shavua in this case, on whom would they have put the Shavua? On the Baal HaBayis. That's what we would have thought. So really it's in the theory of this takan of the Chachamim, in the development of the theory. Because how did it come about? The truth is, really, the Shavua should have been on whom? Who should have had to swear? The Baal HaBayis. And I'm going to ask you soon why we would think that way. But then, it's like, as though the Chachamim came back and said, no, let's not do that. Let's take it away from him and instead give it to the Socher to be a Nishba Venoto. It's as though that in the theory of it, there were two steps. The first step was, but that's only in theory, is to impose a shavua on the Baal HaBayis. What would he have to swear? He'd have to swear that he paid. Now, of course, if he won't swear, then what would happen if he doesn't want? Then he'll have to pay, right?
Well, that's right.
So in theory, they would have first put the shvua on the Baal HaBayis, but then the Chachamim decided that they didn't want to do that. So they decided to take it away from him and put the shvua on the Sochir. So when the Gemara says Okrua Rabbanan, it's not really an Akira because there never was a Chiyuv shvua on the Baal HaBayis, but in theory there would have been one. Okay? And the second teretz of Tosfos is what? That the Gemara wanted to take into account which case? That why the Gemara say Agrua Rabbanim? Because the Gemara wanted even to talk about a case where there actually was a Shavua on the Baal HaBayis. Well, when would there actually be a Shavua on the Baal HaBayis? If he's Modeh B'Mitzvahs. So in a case where the Baal HaBayis is a Modeh B'Mitzvahs, that's the Chachamim decided to take it away from him, which means to absolve him of it, and instead to now give the Socher a chance to swear. You got it? So now it says Okrua. So the Chachamim took the Shavua away from the Chachamim, either in reality or in theory. And they, you know what Shadyuha means? What Shadyuha? They threw it, which for us means they put it, but it literally means they threw. They threw it on the Socher. Why? Misham Kedei Chayav. Yeah, because this is for his livelihood. So I don't understand. So what is the Kedei Chayav coming to explain? The Kedei Chayav is coming to explain what?
Why
what? But what? I mean, the Kedei Chayav is to explain why they moved the Shavua over to. So, according to the first pshat of Tosfos, See, I can understand according to the second shot of Tosis what the Gemara is saying. You understand? Because there's only there is a shvuah already on the Baal HaBayis min HaTorah before the Chacham did anything. So then the only thing that they did was what? Moved it, absolved the Baal HaBayis, and then moved the shvuah on to the Socher. Now why did they do that? Mishum Kedei Chayav. But according to Rashi Tosis' first pshat, where in theory what? It really should have been on the Baal HaBayis. But then they decided not to do that, and they gave it to the Socher instead. So when the Gemara gave the answer, Mishum Kedei Chayav, what is that coming to explain? See, according to the first pshat of Tosis, wouldn't it have to be, what's it coming to explain? The second part of, there are two parts, according to the first pshat of Tosis, there are two parts. The first part is, in a sense, in theory, to obligate the Baal HaBayis. And then the second part is then not to do that and instead give the shvuah to the Socher, right? So when the Gemara said, Okru Abel and Shvuah Baal HaBayis V'shod Yuh HaSocher Mishum Kedei Chayav, well, isn't the Kedei Chayav just to go from step one to step two or to go from zero to two? You hear what I'm asking you? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't it have to be both? Because if you don't introduce Kedei Chayav, then why even in theory would they have imposed the Shavua? Why would they have thought to be Machayav a Shavua on the Baal HaBayis? Why? He's a Kofar HaKol. Why would they ever think? Remember, this is not a Shavua's Hesay, so then you have to say, according to the first Pshat of Tosfos, that Mishum Kedei Chayav is to explain, and how else are you going to learn? I don't know how else to learn it. That Mishum Kedei Chayav is both steps. You understand? According to Tosis, the second pshat is very easy. What's the Mishum Kedei Chayav? Is simply taking the shvuah, absolving the Baal HaBayis, and now giving the shvuah to the Socher. Yeah.
When you say Kedei Chayav, is that saying that we say it's more likely that the Socher is keeping track because this is his livelihood, or are we saying that it's totally up in the air, but we're more sympathetic towards the Socher?
Who can answer that? Is it because since it's Kedei Chayav, he knows better? Or is it simply because, just like it's humanitarian, he needs it for his livelihood, so we just want to help him out because he needs to live on it? What?
Because his life is dependent on it, he would know like if he has it or not, more than someone who would be given it.
So is that what the Gemara is doing now? Or the Gemara?
That's saying that the Baal HaBayis is
Torah. Yeah.
Let's just run through
the Gemara then, and then I want to deal with that. So the Gemara says Mishum Kedei Chayav. Did Rashi say anything about Kedei Chayav? I don't think so. No. That Rashi has a comment coming up. So then the Gemara asks, right? So the Gemara raised the problem, Mishum Kedei Chayav, the Socher, Kansinu Leila Baal HaBayis. Yeah, that's a good point, you're right. Yeah.
Wait, what?
No, the Gemara is saying because we're sympathetic to the, because what's Pshat? The Gemara saying, because of the Kedei Chayav of the Socher, we're going to now find the Baal HaBayis. So that sounds like it's pure sympathy. Otherwise, what is Gemara asking? If the Gemara thought what you were thinking, Chava, then what kind of a... So you're right. I think that right away it resolves it. Yes.
Since when do we base monetary court cases on the person thing? Is that a bad question?
I don't know. I would like to think that there's some sympathy in.
No, but you don't.
Well, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking.
Isn't that looks itself like you're not supposed to
show favoritism? Yeah. In Ochinami, so that's exactly what the Gemara is asking, that because of Kedei Chayav, because we want to help out, that's exactly the Pshat and Chumash, that's the reason. But Lo Sisa Pnei Dol. don't think because he's a poor guy, we have to give him the money. You're exactly right. And I mean, that's exactly what the Gemara is asking. So did you all understand the Gemara's back and forth on this? So what did the Gemara answer to that? So the Gemara answered, yeah, the Balabayas wants it. The Balabayas prefers what? For the Sakhir to swear. Why does he prefer it? You all understand that? Why?
Because otherwise he'll become known as a Balabai and he doesn't pay his workers for his so that if he recurs then he won't have people who will come work for him.
Exactly. So then the Gemara, do you all understand that? So then the Gemara said what? So then the same argument could be made that a socher would prefer the balabayas to take the shavua. Remember, if the balabayas takes the shavua, he'll be a nishba v'niftar. If the socher takes the shavua, he'll collect. There's a big difference, right? So the socher maybe would prefer that the balabayas should swear. Why? So that, because if the worker gets the reputation of what? Of being a nishba v'notal all the time, then the balabayas might not hire him in the future. So what did the Gemara answer? Mm-hmm. Well, Balabayas has no choice. He has to hire the workers. Well, he has no choice either. If he wants to work, he's going to have to work for the Balabayas. So we're back to square one again as to what? So what are we asking? Because of Kedei Chayav of the... because of Kedei Chayav of the Sochir, you mean we're going to now just go ahead and give him this shvua? Why should... So really, what is Gemara really then asking? What should have been done? Because Gemara is asking, Mishum kedei chayev, the socher, kansinu lebalabayas. So what does Gemara want at that point? What should have been done? Should or should not? Did the Oraisa, I thought where is a ko for a ko? Nothing should happen.
Why are we getting into anything then? It's all.
So I'm not clear. The Gemara said, Mishum Kedei Chayev. Ask the Gemara that Mishum Kedei Chayev, Kansinan Lei Labalabayas. So what does the Gemara, what would the Gemara have preferred? Yeah. No, the Gemara is not. Gemara is saying because of Kedei Chayev, we're going to be kones. We're going to find the Balabayas. The Gemara is asking, what should have been done? It would have been better that we want to help out the Sochir, but we don't want to give him a free pass. So what should we have done? Make the Balabayas swear. Yeah, hopefully he won't lie. So if he actually swears and says, you know, I paid him already, fine. But if he doesn't swear, then we'll know that he still owes him the money. So that way you can help out the worker, but you're not just giving him a chance to collect just like that. So really what the Gemara is asking is, why Mishum Kedei Chayav did they what? Did they not only impose a shvua, but in a sense, take the shvua away from the balabayas and give it to the sochir. Yeah?
If we're assuming, though, that people tell the truth when they swear, which we it would be sufficient protection for the worker if the employer would swear.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the point.
Right. But then, shouldn't we also assume that the worker is going to tell the truth if he swears?
Yeah, the only thing is, when he swears, he'll collect. There's a lot to lose. Right, so if he swears, he'll be able to collect just with his shavu alone. So that's going a little bit too far. At least if we... Notice, we don't know. We want to protect the interests of the worker. Now, the balabayas was a kofer hakol. So according to the Torah, the case should be thrown out. If the case is thrown out, then this poor worker, you know, it could be very, you know, traumatic for him. So we want to do something. So what we could do is, you know, doing something without really, without overturning a certain balance of the law, so we'll impose a shvua on the balabayas, and hopefully the balabayas will really think it through carefully. And if he's not sure that maybe, in fact, he didn't pay him, he wouldn't swear, and that way the sacher will get his money. If the balabayas goes through with the shvua, so then we're convinced that he's telling the truth, and then we'll throw out the case. So this way, you're taking into account the kedei chayav, but you're not, you know, just giving the poel his money. I thought it's very reasonable. I know that, but you're giving him a chance to collect when really it's going a little bit too far.
So how much do we assume that people tell the truth like this or something?
Well, we assume that they're not going to swear falsely.
The truth, it doesn't really matter who swears.
Yeah, I know that, but, well.
There are situations where the Balabayas, where they can both tell the truth, and so the Balabayas paid on the call and forgot it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to believe a shvua, but I guess, I mean, you're right, you're saying to me, well, if we believe it, we believe it.
Right, so it's not like a free pass, because the worker's only going to swear
right.
If he's actually owed the money.
The only thing is, though, if you give the socher that chance, you're still giving the socher more rights if you give him the opportunity to swear than if you gave it to the balabayas, right? What shvua, though, if you don't institute one?
Well, no, if you instituted one for the balabai instead of for the worker.
Yeah.
It's not a fundamentally different situation, because the worker can still force the situation.
By what?
Coming to the Beit Din, they force the balabai to swear.
Okay.
So they have no less power than if they could...
Yeah, but the balabais can swear and be potter. If he swears, he won't have to pay. There's still some, you know... He has to swear, but he still has some control over the situation, because if he's convinced of his position, he'll swear and be potter. And also, right? So then the Gemara answered, what? Ela balabayas tarud bepoalofu. So what I want to know is, now that it says, ela balabayas tarud bepoalofu, what does that sound like to you? What does that mean? Well, he's busy with what? He has a lot of workers, not just this one guy. He's got a lot, and he's very preoccupied with all his workers. So what is the problem? What is the fear? That what? That, yeah, maybe he thought he paid this guy, but really he had paid somebody else, and he mixed them up with this guy, and really this guy who was asking for the money did not pay. So what are we still working? So what happened to the reason of kedei chayav?
Well, we can still use it differently. We're saying that now it's a question of who we trust. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of sympathy, but it's a question of who's more likely to actually know the facts.
Okay. So this is not... So you're saying that do we still need the kedei chayav? Do we need that reason?
Yeah.
What would be if we didn't have that reason? Let's imagine. Let's say there was no such kedei chayav. Forget about that. But we have a situation where we think that the worker knows better than the balabayas. The worker only has to know about himself, so he'll know whether he got paid or not. A balabayas has 100 workers, so he could easily mix up one with the other. Isn't that right? So a balabayas could be confused. The socher would not be confused about this, right? He only has himself. So is the Gemara basically saying that the balabayas' position is suffek? I mean, it's suffek? Like he says, I don't know. Really, what does the balabayas actually say when he comes into business? He says, I don't know whether I paid him or not, or he says, I definitely paid him. I definitely paid him. So what, but we're saying what? But we're saying, we Bezdin is saying to him, yeah, I know you're sure. But we don't think we think you're really not sure. You say to be sure, but we have doubts because you have 100 workers, so we don't know who you paid and who you didn't pay. So even though you say, oh, I paid him, we're not sure. We still are afraid that maybe you mixed him up with another worker. Isn't that right? So because we're not sure, so therefore we turn, are we basically saying to him that your position is a suffix? That's what it sounds like to me. No, so what would be that? What's the halacha then? What is the halacha if I come to you and I say, you owe me $100, and you say, I don't know? Is that the halacha? Yeah, you have to see Tosis. It's very important. Tosis is actually a machlokis in the Gemara, not here. Tosis is it's a Gemara in Baba Metzia, that there's a machlokis in the Gemara about what? If I come over to you and I say, you owe me definitely $100, and you say, I don't know if I do. Maybe I do, but maybe I don't. Because you're not denying it. You're not admitting it. You're just saying, I don't know. So it's what is this a case of? This is called Bari Vishema. Bari means certain, Shema means maybe, right? So if I'm a Bari, I'm the plaintiff. So if the plaintiff is a Bari, Bayes Rashiyot, right? The plaintiff is a Bari, and the defendant is a Shema, Bari Vishema, it's a Machlokas Amorayim, you're going to see it. Whether Bari Odif or Bari Lav Odif. You know what Odif means? Yeah, preferred. So, if you learn, if you follow the Amara that says Bari Vishema Bari Adif, then what? Then do you need Kadei Chayav?
No.
Then often you don't need Kadei Chayav. That's if you're assuming that the Balabais is simply a Shema, even though what's interesting is he claims to know. He says, I know I paid him. He's screaming his head off, I paid him, right? But we're just can't believe him. We don't feel he could be that certain. So we are imposing the Shema on him, right? It's not that he's saying, I don't know. Now, if we were to treat this as a case of Bari Vishema, well, then it depends which Amora are you going to follow in this Machlokas and Baba Metzia. If you hold that Bari Vishema, Bari is Adif, then the Balabaya should have to pay because of Bari Vishema, Bari Adif. The truth of the matter is, you don't even know why what. In Bari Vishema, Bari Adif, does the Bari guy have to swear? No. So I would ask, if it's a case of Bari Vishema, the Bari guy should just win the way it is. He shouldn't even have to swear, he should just win. You understand what I'm saying? Well, that's exactly why I'm asking the question, what is this? And if it's not really a Shema, then what does the Gemara mean by Torah B'Po'alov? What is Gemara trying to say? Okay, I have to go, I'm really sorry. So we will continue with this tomorrow, okay? So when you come in, right away start preparing, and okay?